But again, good morning, everybody. What a great way to start off the day of baptism. There's Annabelle. Everybody give her another round of applause. What a great thing it is to have a church that baptizes the Lord's people. Whoa, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, as I was thinking about this, what a great thing that we had have a new bathroom up here up on the main floor that someone doesn't have to get all the way downstairs to recover. What a joy this church is to serve in. Ah, praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here today. What a joy. But today, after the baptism, and later on we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And by the way, as I was telling you, the Lord's Supper, some of those also came from Israel, from the place where Jesus turned water into wine. So yeah, benefits of that trip is far-reaching for sure. But today we're going to talk a little bit about the subject of Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality. For those that don't know what hospitality is, I'll never assume anything anymore. Hospitality is when you take care, how you treat people, and how you take care of the people that God puts in your midst. But being that it's right after the 4th of July, and by the way, did you all have a good 4th of July celebration? Wasn't it awesome? I know in town here, Amy and I was traveling much. We went to Wisconsin, but I know Jeremiah, you represented the church, you were here, and I know some of the others as well. But it's great when people come together, and it also gives us a great opportunity to witness to people as well. But I love Independence Day and thinking about what Independence Day is all about. We have, as we talk about a little more, we have a lot of things on our plate. We got VBS coming up, and we're going to need help. I need your help, brothers and sisters, to pull this off. We have 13 people coming in to help us run the VBS, and they're bringing all their stuff with us because they had their own VBS program. But I do have some flyers inside over on the counter. They look like this right here, basically. Try to get that out to and post this where it could be seen so that people can take advantage of it. And this is our first one, so it's going to be very interesting to see what this VBS program comes about. And then Annabelle there, you're such a trooper. Yesterday she woke up with a little bit of a sickness, and so she had to cancel her birthday and her graduation ceremony. And her birthday is actually the 10th, right? So in that regard, Annabelle, again, you just get a round of applause. You're such a trooper. Thank you so much for all you're doing. And anyway, I got a little military, since it was 4th of July, I got a military an illustration for you. It's kind of funny. The Air Force chaplain was transferred to another base. What's that? Jerry's Air Force. And he was allowed to decide between two houses he lived in. Obviously, he must have been upper in rank. They don't normally give you choices, but he had a choice. And along with his wife and 4-year-old daughter, they inspected the two houses. As soon as they finished inspecting the first house, the 4-year-old daughter said that she didn't like the house. Well, no problem, the chaplain said. So they went to the other house to inspect that one. The girl made quite clear, though, that she didn't like the other house either. So there were no more choices, so her confused parents asked, "What about the two houses didn't you like, sweetheart?" And she responded real quickly. She says, "Neither one of them had any beds," because the house was empty. You get it? Yeah. So, but from the perspective of a 4-year-old, I mean, that just makes sense. You got to have beds. You know, how you can't sleep in a place without beds. But it's about, this message is about hospitality. And the sad thing is that in today's culture, we've kind of pulled away a little bit from the general practice of hospitality. I remember in the old days, you know, people pride themselves in saying that, "Hey, my door is always open." And they meant it. I mean, they didn't have air conditioning. That's the only place they got air in the house, that the doors and the windows were open, and anybody could just come on in. That was the way I was raised back home. I'd wake up in the morning, and people would be downstairs drinking coffee with Mom and Dad, and I didn't even know who they were. That's the way they were, hospitable people. But in today's culture, many people don't even open their doors up anymore. One might think that they, too, didn't have any beds in their house. But God's message will make it clear today that God's intention for us is to not be subject to the culture around us, to be different in that respect, to be hospitable. And so that's what the message is going to be here today. So hold up your Bibles, please. I want to see some Bibles. Please turn in these Bibles to 3 John. 3 John. It's right towards Revelation in the back. 3 John, we're going to start off with verse 1 there on page 1087 of the Pew Bibles, which is the inspired and the infallible and the living Word of God. But let's start with prayer. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your precious word so that we can learn from it. Oh, Lord, we need you. And Lord, we need your word, especially in this world today that seems to be so upside down. Lord, cause us to take notice of these words that we read here today, and so that it can impact our lives for the glory, your glory of purpose alone. Father God, you want us to be hospitable people. And Lord, I pray that the message is received. And Lord, we love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Everybody says? Amen. 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 So, like we learned last week, this book of 3 John is actually the second shortest book in the Bible. The shortest is what we went over last week, being 2 John. Only 300 words in that particular whole book letter. Both these letter books, though, were written by to a specific individual by the Apostle John himself. Sadly, most people don't write many letters like this anymore. I couldn't tell you when was the last time I received a letter in the mail that was actually a letter saying what's going on in their life. If we get in a mail that mail nowadays, it's very special, unusual for sure. I don't know about you, but I through the years I have written a lot of letters, especially when I was a traveling soldier of sorts. Many different people, however, don't write letters anymore. I pray that my letters never actually end up as a book like John's here. And I wonder if he fathomed that this letter of 300 words would be canonized, brought together into now what we call our Bible, let alone even made known to the other churches. But somehow here today, we are reading them, these letters of John, and our Heavenly Father, we believe, ordained these books and these letters to be canonized, brought together so that we can enjoy them. Praise the Lord. As with 2 John, this letter here focuses on the basic issue of hospitality. Last week, we heard it from a different perspective where he was saying, don't be hospitable to the evil people. Keep watch. And John tells us in another passage to be shrewd about who we and how we interact with this world. Be smart about it. This 2 John now warns us, 2 John warned us about hospitality for false teachers. This final letter for John condemns the lack of hospitality shown to faithful ministers of the word. John's letter starts out most personally, like a written letter. Would be, it says, as an elder, he's giving them a greeting. It says, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that are in good health, just as your whole life is going well. For I was very glad when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. As a father and grandfather now, I feel John's sentiment here, and I'm sure a lot of you do as well. The elder here, of course, is the Apostle John, and Gaius was apparently a dear friend. There are several men named Gaius throughout the New Testament, and it was very common Roman name back then. John probably met this Gaius in his travels and maybe stayed and preached in his house church at one time. John was probably in his 90s at the time he wrote this letter and wanted to address some of the issues that he was made known about. It is believed that based upon what is said in this letter, that there was actually a previous letter, though, written by John to Gaius that was sent to that same house church. But apparently, for some reason, it was not received well or maintained for us to read here today. In this letter, John expresses the gospel-centered love that he has for this man named Gaius. Apart from your spouse, have you ever felt that special bond between you and a fellow Christian? Yeah, I have too. What a joy it is that you can trust somebody. Because sometimes you feel you can't trust anybody in this world. And that's not God's intention for you. He wants us to surround ourselves with Christians, to test that they truly are Christians, to look upon their works. But at some point, gain trust with one another, live life with one another, because that's a blessing for sure. God intends that there be a special bond between brothers and sisters in Christ, a bond of friendship that often even transcends age, experience, and even style and personality. One of my dearest friends is E.J. Cole. You know, he's 94 years old now, and he's in Oklahoma. So, but because of the bond that we created a long time ago, it transcends all of that. And I talk to him at least once a month or so, see how he's doing. And he's doing fine, by the way, for those who know him. But I found that the strongest bonds of Christian fellowship are formed when brothers and sisters serve together, like EJ and I did, in some capacity. Celebrate together, worship together, go crazy gospel missions together perhaps, and even suffer together as they live together as the church body. That's God's intentions. And I think a lot of churches miss that. The church isn't this building. The church isn't the sermon. The church is the people. And God wants you to be with His people. It's a gift from Him. When those bonds are created, we begin to care for one another's lives. We begin to really know each other. We become less concerned also about our own self as we begin to hope and pray for our friends that they, like John has expressed here, would thrive not only materially but also spiritually. That's John's prayer for Gaius, that he will experience success in his work, good health and wealth, and with continued strong faith. That's John's hope. John not only prays for Gaius here in this letter, but he shares the joy he felt when he heard the report about Gaius's faith and Gaius's children's faith. That is the witness that speaks to you even more so than anything else. I was talking to Lisa just a couple minutes ago. The fact that Annabelle and Kyle are both now baptized, that is the primary goal of her life at this juncture. Now, you get to experience it being lived out through their actions. And that is the blessing that you have as a result of your good actions there. Pastor John says that there is no greater joy, he says, that nothing makes him happier than to know that those in his care are walking in the truth. That what they believe in their heart is applied then to action. We can find many things to be grateful in our lives, our families and our church. And although I am thankful when one of my children or someone of our church confesses their faith in Jesus Christ, it is true joy, brothers and sisters, to see their faith rendered in some sort of action. That is the testimony, the proof that the conversion was real and right. Conversely, though, there's no greater sorrow than when we witness those we care about that are not walking in the truth. They stumble, they fall, they backslide. It's an old Christian term, and it hurts our heart when we see it. They may be succeeding according to the world standards, but they're failing miserably according to God's. God, more than anything else, wants all of us, all of His children, to be joyous, to be content. That is will. But that kind of joy and contentment only comes by and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Our next set of verses there start at verse 5. It says, Dear friend, you are acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name Jesus Christ, accepting nothing from pagans as they went. Therefore, we ought to support each such people so that we can be co-workers with the truth. So this section here is all about hospitality towards one another. The Bible has a lot to say about Christian hospitality. So the question isn't whether or not we believe it. The question is, though, whether or not we are actually going to walk in the truth like John's friend Gaius here. Are you acting faithfully in regards to hospitality, Christian hospitality? 1 Peter, it's a couple of verses. 1 Peter 4:9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Sometimes I'm a grumbler sometimes. Hey, I got to admit, I'm a grumbler sometimes. But God wants us to show hospitality without grumbling. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Romans 12:13 says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints, fellow believers, our saints, and seek to show hospitality." That is what John is commending Gaius here about and instructing now us about in the first part of this letter. We, like Gaius, are to continue showing and demonstrating hospitality for one another, especially when it's inconvenient. Especially when it's inconvenient. Because I'll tell you, most of the time, it is putting you out in some fashion. And God wants you to do it, especially when it's inconvenient. And in that, I promise you, you and your family will be blessed. For the early Christian church, the Christian homes had pretty much an open door policy. Like I said, my family was from Tennessee and Georgia, and they migrated to Detroit. So they kind of had that Tennessee atmosphere bringing it to the center of Detroit. Not necessarily the smartest thing in the world. But they pride themselves as always having a coffee pot full and something to eat. Something they could put together at the last minute moment to just enjoy the fellowship with one another. Awesome. And like many other things, though, including giving, service, commitment, worship, and purity, Christian leaders now must set an example for hospitality. I'm reminded about what Jesus taught in Matthew 25. You know this one. He says, "For as I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer him, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of my brothers, you did it unto me." God says that he will send angels, and that how you treat that angel will be a credit or a discredit to your service to him. Christ followers should be all about Christian hospitality. Nobody says it will be easy. However, we must develop a culture of hospitality in our families and in our homes and in our church, in our lives. Amen? John continues here at verse 9. It says, "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes," and I want you to pay attention. There's two guys with the name of D here, and one could get mixed up with the other. One was bad, and the next one was good. But Diotrephes, who loves to have first place amongst them, does not receive our authority. This is why, if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refused to welcome fellow believers, hospitality, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. That's a mean dude. This is the only mention of this guy, Diotrephes, in Scripture. How would you like to be mentioned in Scripture in some small way, especially in a positive light? Wouldn't that be great? Whatever position Diotrephes has in the church, he is obviously abusing it. According to John here, he is a prideful, selfish, unloving, false teaching bully. You ever run into any of those? Yeah. They make everyone around them miserable. It's all about them, it seems. They want to make it that way. Especially when it is also related, though, to church work. It is actually detestable when God sees it in the church. But it happens. It happens. That is not God's desire for anyone, let alone a leader within the church. David wrote in Proverbs 16, "Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." That is not God's will. And as Jesus said, as written in Matthew 20, whoever wants to become great amongst you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must become a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life even as a ransom for many. As Christians, we cannot be prideful as we are attempting to go about serving one another. I have said this many a time, that God can use a person with a humble heart. God can and wants to use a person with a humble heart. I'll be the first to attest that that humble heart does not come naturally for some folks. It took me a long time to be knocked down two size before I finally picked up that servant attitude and started working with it. So how's that old song? Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. Yeah, that was me. But truly, if the master of the universe, Jesus Christ, can do that for the least of these, wash their feet, carry their load, humble themselves, then we should try to strive to do likewise. Notice that John also said that Diotrephes did not, though, he did not, this evil guy, did not receive our authority. Now, that's a sensitive issue, and one that we have to constantly guard in this church. John was an elder, and he was the head of the church family here, and he was accountable to God even for his leadership and authority as the chief shepherd of the flock. Likewise, as your pastor, I too am responsible to God for the charge of leading this church family as we move forward. But I'm not alone, though, in this charge. We also have deacons, trustees, and team leaders who also, in order to move forward smartly, must continue to demonstrate good servant leader attributes and practices like Jesus did. Likewise, the church congregation, to remain in God's will, should choose to want to receive the authority that's vested in the people that are working here, like John wrote about. I hope you understand that as we are serving out in this church as servant leaders, we love you. We love you, and we need one another, and we are in this together, and we hope to continue growing in this church for God's glory alone with one another as God blesses us with new members and opportunities in this community going forward. Now, the last verses here, it says, dear friends, verse 11, do not imitate, oh, this is second from last, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. There is one who does good, the one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not seeing God. Everyone speaks well of Demetrius, not the other guy, this is Demetrius now. Even the truth itself speaks well of Demetrius. And we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. So this is a complete different type of leader here. The first one was an authoritarian, and this guy here is a humble servant leader of God. John is encouraging his dear friend Gaius to stay the course. John tells him to not imitate the evil Diotrephes, but instead imitate those who are doing good, like Demetrius here. Again, we don't know much about this Demetrius guy other than that he is of good character. We need to surround ourselves with people of good character. Surround ourselves. We all should know from experience that character tends to rub off, good or bad. We tend to become more and more like those we hang around with. And I am speaking here from experience, brothers and sisters. Choose good friends and serve well together. That is God's will for you. In our last verse, 13, it says, I have many things to write to you, but I don't want to write to you with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. So this John ends this letter here the same way that he ended the second John letter, telling the friends that he would rather not use paper and ink, but see them again in person, which unfortunately we don't believe that he was able to do because he died in prison after he wrote the book of Revelation. John could have written more, I'm sure, but he knew the danger, one, of writing long letters because there was a lot of spies out there trying to persecute the young church. But he also knew the power of face-to-face conversations. And he's saying, I would rather spend a moment with you than hours in letters. Letters or phone calls or emails or text or Facebook messages are all good, but they are not the most effective tools to walk the truth or walk in love. Real loving relationships come through face-to-face interactions. We need to strive to go out of our way to spend time with one another. And real church comes from those types of real relationships with one another and with God at the forefront of everything we do. And it all starts, though, with a small core group of people who care to choose to step into that place of love in Jesus Christ through the good times and maybe even some difficult times and discomfort as well. Building strong, true Christian relationships together should be our goal. My prayer as this young church now family restarts, we will find ourselves viewing one another differently as a family. We will pursue relationships with one another together in the community. That is why God has brought you here today, brothers and sisters, to love and to be loved. Be part of the solution, I beg you today. Again, the main point of this message today is from God's word is that we need to be getting better at hospitality. Hospitality. We have a lot of great opportunities ahead of us in this church, starting with VBS coming up here shortly. God wants us to be hospitable, warm, loving, inviting, caring, gracious, and most importantly, humble Christian leaders. Christians following the Holy Spirit's leading and making a difference for Him. Please rise. We got a lot going on in this church, and it is a true blessing to be a part of. It's a joy to see how God is working again through this 150-year-old church building and 175-year-old church establishment. But it's all about God. We need to rid ourselves of evil pride and take on the spirit of truth, humble truth and love. But as we close here today, as we experience today the blessing of seeing Annabelle baptized, we open up next week. We're going to do another one. Next week it'll be Lisa and Dante, which I was hoping they would be here today, but I know Lisa sometimes works on the weekend. But anyway, as you see people that are going the wrong path, especially our dear loved ones, point them to, you know, God's word. Point them to His intention, as we learned here today, to be in fellowship with one another. And in that, you're going to stand out. Because in today's society, that is not normal. And God does not want you to be normal. But as we are closing, if there's anybody who would like prayer, specific prayer, if anybody would like to join this church, this would be the time to do so. So we're going to sing Amazing Grace. But let me start with prayer. Father God, be with us, Lord, as Your church family. Help us, Lord, to lead a life that is in keeping with Your word and Your will, that gives You all the glory. Heavenly Father, we love You and we need You more and more daily. It's in Your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Let's sing. That gave the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen and amen. Please take your seats and we'll prepare ourselves in our hearts and our minds for this Lord's Supper. And Annabelle gets to take her first Lord's Supper as a baptized believer. Can I get the come forward, please, the usher?
And here's two cups. The bottom cup is the bread. So you have to separate the cups when you get them. And the top is the wine. Jeremy? Jeremy put a bell in there for the kids so we know when to come up. First Corinthians 11:23 says, "And Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant or contract in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Would you please rise and let's close in prayer? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for making yourself known to us by sending your Son Jesus to this earth in human form to be raised as from a child to an adult, experiencing everything that we experience, but yet you remain sinless. You are the only one that could have done that. And then, Lord, you put yourself on that cross. And you carried all of our sins up there with you. And, Lord, you received the punishment that we deserved. And then we received your righteousness. How unworthy are we? And for that reason, Lord, we are grateful. And we humbly bow down to your magnificent adoration. And we praise you, Lord, day by day. Lord, I ask you to guide us, each, every, and everyone here. Guide us in the way we ought to go. Keep us in your grace. Protect us from the evil one. Father, it is all about you. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for your service and coming here today. And again, thank you, Annabelle, for allowing us to be part of your baptism. Have a wonderful day. God bless you all.